Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 163 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today I would like to prove to you that it is possible to live an intercultural experience without ever crossing the borders of your own country. Our topic today is internationalization at home through simulations. And our Spanish editor, Elena Colunga Caballero, has made interviews with participants and facilitators of intercultural simulations. In our first category, Absolutely Foreign, she interviewed Philip, who shares with us his dream to go and study in Australia.
It was a huge experience when I made the summer school program. I've never been to Australia before, but I heard that there is that happiness that people share with other people, especially foreigners, so I want to gain this experience.
In our second category, Absolutely Privileged, Matthew tells us about a simulation game called How Far Can I Get in My Society that he took part in one of his lectures at the university.
It was interesting to see that the students with immigrant characters weren't able to step forward, whereas I, with a wealthy character who was a national of his country, was able to take a step.
Gidrune is amazed how in an intercultural card game called Barnga, students could reflect on emotions and sensations which are so close to the real ones she remembers from her first days in a new culture. Although it was only simulated, she experienced the situation in the classroom as absolutely real.
Remind me the first day in Germany, because it was really very difficult and I didn't know language and I didn't know people, and it was the same in this game. It's amazing how a game can reflect the real life, yeah, and I enjoy it.
And in our last category, Absolutely Simulated, Elena interviews the lecturer about the didactic advantages of simulations over experiences in the real world.
In this classroom we have a carpet, so if you fall, it's not so hard. In a real company during your internship abroad, this could be much more dramatic if you make the wrong steps, for example.
Yes, you may have recognized that voice of the lecturer. But let us now start with our show and listen to some students first. This morning, I was in job interviews recruiting academic staff for our department. One of the standard questions nowadays seems to be how candidates have internationalized themselves during their studies. Studies only in your home culture do not seem to be adequate any longer. Recruiters pay a lot of attention to intercultural experiences that candidates may bring to the new job experience. For example, through an exchange program or an internship in another country. And it is a fact that young people whose personal and academic life has been enriched by several of these stays abroad have much more opportunities to get the jobs that they really want. Three students will tell us their plans to internationalize themselves. Their assignment in class was to prepare an internationalization story, which can be true or false, to share with the rest of the students, who afterwards asked them questions in order to find out whether the story is true or fake. The purpose of this curious activity in the classroom is to share good ideas of going to study abroad or doing an internship in a foreign country or simply a language course. And even if the story is a fake, sometimes students fall in love with their own story and afterwards put it into practice. In our first category, Absolutely Foreign, we listen to Saskia, who wants to do an internship in a hotel in Mexico.
So my story is that I'm planning to do an internship this semester or this summer semester. And I did some research at the internet and I found the internet page IES Consulting. And they offer different internships for European students. And you can decide whether you like to go to Mexico, Spain, France, or Germany. and I would like to do to go to Mexico to improve my English and my Spanish skills over there. This would be an internship for about at least 3 months. I won't get paid there because I stay, for example, at the hotel where I can decide if I would like to work in the marketing department or at the human resource department. I could decide to do some entertainment things there too. So yeah, I won't get paid, but I do have the stay free and food all the time free. I would like to go for, yeah, at least 3 months, but if it would be longer, that would be nice as well, because maybe then I can do my bachelor thesis over there as well. I would ask, or I will plan to do that during the company IES Consulting, because they offer the internship and they match like the students who are searching for a job and then the companies who are offering. So it's all through them. And if I would like to stay longer, I would definitely contact IES Consulting. And do you think it's a true story or a false one?
My name is Yunus. I'm 21 years old. My origin is Morocco, but I'm half German too. After my German Abitur, I had 1 year time before I started to study, and I did my practice ship in Morocco in an international society considering logistics. After my studies, I would really like to go back there to Morocco, because I like the kind of people, the mentality of them, and I would really like to live and work after my studies in Morocco. And so if I start there to work, I would like to see how I feel there. If I like it very much, I would like to stay there many years. And I have no idea how long exactly now, but because my father is Moroccan, I was obliged to speak, since I'm small, English, French, and a little bit Arabic. So the language wouldn't be really a big problem there. I already spent there 1 year, and it was no problem for me to talk with them. So the city where was my practice ship was in Casablanca. It's the biggest town in Morocco and the industrial capital. So it will be there again in the society called CMN. International Logistics. I'm half Moroccan too, so I get the Moroccan nationality. I got my Moroccan passport and I don't need any visa to work there. So now I told you my plan. You think it's true or it's a fake?
My big childhood dream is to study abroad. I already took part in the summer school program last year, and now I want to apply for 2 scholarships, one in Austin, Texas, USA, and the other one is in the University of the Sunshine Coast in Australia. The 2 scholarships cover all the tuition fees for the 2 universities, so it's a lot and a huge, big financial support for me, and otherwise I couldn't study abroad in one of the countries. The application process already begun. I already work as a free tutor in English, so I can internationalize myself already, and like I said, I already took part in the summer school program, so I'm already in the application process. I have to write some essays now, and I'm really excited about the topics about the essays, and I collect some material for that. I think it's the 2 scholarships, both are highly demanded, and with the scholarships you don't have to pay the tuition fees, and so I guess it is very highly demanded. I would not apply for the visa before I get the scholarship, because in my opinion it's enough time afterwards, and now it's not the time to think about the visa. It's time to think about being successful in the application process. I've never been to Australia before, but I heard that there is that kind of happiness that people share with other people, especially foreigners, so I want to gain this experience. Dear listeners, so what do you think about my story? Is it true or false?
So what do you think? Will Saskia really do that internship in Mexico in a hotel? Will Yunus really return to Morocco to work in his father's home country? And is Philip really trying to get that scholarship to go to study in the US or in Australia? Perhaps you want to have a look at our Facebook page and find out, or get in touch with the students themselves. I certainly think that all 3 internationalization plans sound very plausible and show great potential. And perhaps some of the other students, while they were listening to the stories, got itchy feet themselves and will make similar plans to go abroad. Now, in another classroom, I suggested to the students to go out to the courtyard and play a game which is called How Far Can I Get in My Society? And was inspired by Alexandra Haas and her project Teaching Culture. So outside in the sunshine, I told the surprise students to stand in one line, shoulder to shoulder, to see how far they can get in their society. Each participant received a role card with the characteristics of a person, the age, background, a nationality, their occupation, and they were representing very different parts of society. So we had a young architect, a student in a wheelchair, a successful homosexual owner of a hairdressing salon, or a young offender who had only just been released from prison for good behavior. Some questions concerning activities of daily life or education or a job were asked, and each question the participant must make a step forward if they think their character would be able to answer the question with yes, or they stay in the same place in case they did not. There were questions like, well, would it be easy for you to become a member of a tennis club? Or if you had lost your train ticket, would the train conductor be likely to believe your story? Or do you think you could get a job in an institution run by the Catholic Church? Now, Matthew and Talia, both Australian participants in this game, were amazed at how this game makes the social barriers in a society visible. They noticed how wealthy people can go very far, whereas immigrants and poorer individuals with limited opportunities are often in a disadvantaged position and easily get left behind.
In the class Intercultural Communication, we played a game called How Far Can You Get? Each person playing gets a different character, and some characters are rich, some characters are poor, some are Germans, some are foreign immigrants. The teacher asked a series of questions. For example, can your character go on a holiday once a year? And for each yes answer, the student would take a step forward. One of the questions was, are you employed or could you get a suitable job within 2 months if you wanted to? The students with immigrant characters weren't able to step forward, whereas I, with a wealthy character who was a national of his country, was able to take a step. And so at the end of the game, it was interesting to see what kind of characters had moved up so far and which characters were still at the back of the group. Once we'd finished the game, we compared the characters and it was very obvious that certain characters were at the front and certain characters were at the back. So, for example, the wealthier Germans were usually at the front of the group, whereas the poorer immigrants were at the back of the group. I had a really wealthy character, and so that gave me certain privileges. People trusted me, people liked me, but it was interesting to look back and see the other people at the back of the group and how they didn't fare so well. The game really taught us about the gaps in society and how some people seem to be more fortunate than others. The immigrants were usually at the back, and I guess that's because they're at a disadvantage in a different country. People see them as being different, and I guess a lot more untrustworthy. I think the game really reflects society in real life. When you see someone who's not the same as you, or you really have stereotypes about them, which are often negative, and so it reflects in your behavior, you treat them differently. This game is definitely useful as a teaching tool because it really teaches you about different cultures. So if you stay in your country your whole life, you're more sheltered and you don't really get to see other points of view. But if you go to a different culture, suddenly you're the stranger, you're the odd one out. And so people do treat you differently. This game really taught us what it's like to be different and go abroad where suddenly we're the odd ones out.
So we played the game How Far Can You Get? We were given cards. I think there was about 12 of us. And the card had on a gender, age, and maybe their background. So, for example, I was a 21-year-old girl who wears a headscarf and my parents are very religious. And then the teacher proceeds to ask questions about your opportunities. And you can see everybody has different cards with different people on them. And you can see how far in society they've gotten. And for an example, I was at the back because my opportunities were limited from my point of view. We were looking at Germany. This is where the culture was set. It was a husband and a wife, and they were both doctors, and they didn't have any kids. So they had a lot of opportunities, and they were very wealthy, because you could tell that from their occupation. And in terms of the person that I remember that was at the back, who didn't have many opportunities, was an immigrant, I think, a Muslim, and they were working as a waitress, and they didn't have very much money. I kind of realized how I view other cultures because I reflected and thought that maybe there were some questions where I could have walked forward, but because I was so stuck in this stereotype of a very religious person wearing a headscarf, I just stuck to my stereotype, and that's why I think she was so far back as my character, because I had a set idea of what she would be like and I didn't want to move that. I didn't feel disappointed. Everybody was laughing at me because I wasn't moving. But yeah, it was really interesting to see what other people said, because Dr. Borgman interviewed people who had the cards at the end of the game, and it was interesting to see what their occupation was and where they were on the game board. I think it was a really good game to get people to view that person in a different way, and it could be really useful if you do it in your home country, as we did, because all my class is practically Germans. So they got to look from an outside perspective on what it would be like to be a different nationality within Germany. So I think it is a very useful game that could be used all over the world to help you prepare for intercultural meetings or going abroad.
Let us now turn to another intercultural simulation that we have already talked about in previous shows. Gidrune was a participant of Barngar, and in our category Absolutely Real, she explains how this card game can help you with your intercultural preparation before you go abroad. It really helps experience the real feelings that you will have when you move to another country, even if it is only a simulation and all the time you stay in your classroom.
The most interesting thing for me was playing a card game, which was called Banga. And I think that it's very helpful if you want to get know about other people. We was in group, and different table has different rules. So when you are playing this game without words, you can't know what the rules is. And it was quite interesting to go from one table to another table and to play the game, because it was different. It was the same game but with different rules. It is really very easy way to know about other people. And for example, if I will be all the time in Lithuania in my country and I wouldn't go abroad, it would be really very helpful to know about other countries, like playing this game, because when you go to other countries, you should adapt somehow in the culture. And it was the same when you was playing the card, because you didn't know the rules and you couldn't ask because it was game in silent. So you should at first see how they are playing this game, and then you should try to adapt and play the same and use the same rules. When you are going to other country, for example, me, I came to Germany, and it's a little bit different from Lithuania, and it is the same when I was playing the card, because it was my table, my team, and we have our rules, and when I moved from to other table, there was different rules, and it is the same as in Lithuania, we have our rules and our culture, how we are. And in Germany, they are different. So I think it's really very helpful to have this game before you are going abroad, to know that you will feel differences in other country and with other culture. This game, it was so exciting, and it reminded me the first day in Germany, because it was really very difficult, and I didn't know language, and I didn't know people, and it was the same in this game, because you didn't know anything, and you should somehow to adapt, so it's really like a game, but it's now in reality, and it's amazing how a game can reflect the real life, yeah, and I enjoy it.
Yes, it is amazing how this game seems to produce the same emotions in the group every time we play it. As Gidrune points out, It is best used to give participants a taste of culture shocks that we experience when we go abroad. Let us look at simulations from the other side and see what the didactical aims of these games and simulations could be. In our category Absolutely Simulated, Elena, our editor, made an interview with me.
So, Lawrence, why do you use simulations in your teaching?
Generally, we use simulations when either the reality could be too dangerous, like when we talk about fire drills. Of course, it makes more sense to do a simulation of a fire drill than to put people in the real situation, or when the real situation is not so accessible. And in my case, I would like to simulate a situation where my students are abroad, perhaps in a different culture, perhaps in a different language, and where they need to get the experience of what it will be like when they are in this different culture. My feeling is that the students cannot really learn this from a book, nor can they learn it from a lecture where I tell them what it is like. They will listen to that, they will take notes, and they would even be able to reproduce that in a final exam, but I don't think that that will really help them in the situation when they go to a foreign country.
You make it sound as if simulations are the answer to all questions. What I mean is, why not use in real life? Wouldn't it be more useful for the students?
Okay, yes. Of course, as a lecturer at a university, I would prefer to take my students on a trip. Yes, I do that every now and then, but then it's only like 15 students or 20 students who will profit from that. And if I include a simulation in my teaching, they all get that kind of experience. I sometimes think that simulations are not only second best, but they also have an advantage over real life. Because in real life, we have the experience, but it can be difficult. So if we do the same thing in a classroom, in a sheltered environment, it's a little more controlled, and not all students are ready to make the real step. And what we're doing in the simulation somehow is that we jump in at the shallow end, where people can still stand and where it's a little safer for them somehow. And I seriously don't want to propose simulations as a replacement necessarily for the real life experience, but I see it more as a preparation. It is an easier way to get experience in a sheltered environment where if things go wrong, they're not as wrong as if we were in the real situation. I jokingly say to my students, in this classroom we have a carpet, so if you fall, it's not so hard. In a real company during your internship abroad, this could be much more dramatic if you make the wrong steps, for example. The simulation allows the students to work on different levels. They make an experience, and they might even be shocked in the experience. But then afterwards, after the experience, we go to a different level and we discuss it in class. And that is something which doesn't happen in real life. Then usually people are on their own, and they often don't take the time for this kind of reflection. Or maybe they have nobody at hand with whom they could reflect that experience. So what the simulation does, it creates a kind of awareness so that when these students later on in their lives, maybe during a stay abroad, when they then get into a similar situation, an intercultural situation, they recognized this situation has the same elements as the one which I tried out in the simulation. Well, and it is to be hoped that then the experience in the classroom will help them be a little better in real life.
We have arrived at the end of today's episode. I very much hope that we've been able to point out how a simple game or a simulation can create or simulate a culture shock without going abroad. By the way, how do you feel about the internationalization stories that you heard? Are all of them true? Are all of them false? Is Eunice planning to go to Morocco? And have Philip and Saskia really begun with the first steps to live abroad? Find out from our Facebook page, where you can find the answers. If you want even more background as to the broader issues behind our intercultural stories in this podcast, then you might consider visiting the Absolutely Intercultural Amazon store, where we have both classics, basics, and specifics for sale, a small proportion of which goes to us to support the costs of maintaining this podcast. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 1st of March. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.